don't feel ready. I don't feel ready. That's because we're not ready, turns out. Welcome to The Fluent Show, a podcast all about loving, living and learning languages, having a wonderful time with languages. And we are here today for our last ever Fluent Show episode. It's a really exciting, special time, and I can't do this alone. So first of all, I am Kirsten. Hi, my name is Kirsten, and I'm from fluentlanguage.co.uk. And like I said, can't do this alone. Can't do this very well either, but you know, this is the third take, so here we go. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Lindsay Williams from Lindsay Does Languages. Lindsay, how are you feeling today?
Hi. Yeah, it's a strange feeling, right?
It is so weird. I'm kind of excited though now. Now we're getting going.
Yeah.
So listeners, what you don't know is we're recording this on Thursday. We tried recording this on Tuesday, and I think every technology aspect just went wrong. So we've been kind of building up to this a little while, you know, like Lindsay's got the microphone sorted now. We've got a relatively steady internet connection, at least we hope so. And, you know, as you are listening to this, we've got you listening. So what else could we possibly want? And we've got some really fun, I think, conversations lined up that relate to our theme of finishing. What do you think, Lindsay?
I'm excited. Let's go. Let's do this.
All right. Okay. Now, one thing I don't want to do, just in case you're like, why? What? Last episode? If you don't know and you want to hear why, go to the previous episode, episode 239. Beck and I have already kind of talked through it, Beck being my guest in that episode. So we're going to end this on a high. And one thing she said that really, I'm surprised, I was surprised by, because I kind of didn't expect this many messages. I really received loads of messages from all of you, so many messages. So I want to just give you a big thank you to all of you who have been getting in touch. I'm going to make Lindsay read some. I'm going to read some myself. And also big shout out to Dan McIntyre and to Grammar Girl, who are previous guests on the show, as well as Anne and Scotty, I've also popped their episodes in the show notes. So you'll hear all of those.
Hi, Kirsten. Congratulations on 9 amazing years of podcasting. What an effort. This is Penny from Lingo Mama and Language Chats and Language Lovers AU. And I wanted to let you know that one of my favorite episodes was your live language party in August of 2018 when you celebrated your 100th episode. Congratulations again.
Now, let me see. Lindsay, shall we do some, get us in the mood by starting to read a few messages from listeners? Why don't you pick one up? And I think we'll start at the bottom of our little notes document. We've got Anne herself. And if you grab Katie's message above that, then we're kind of going to get ourselves in the mood a little bit and pick the ones up. Now, Anne is actually a previous Fluent Show guest. She was on episode 132 talking about language retreats, and I've met her twice. Where did I meet her? Anne says she's immensely grateful. She says, I'm immensely grateful I discovered your podcast several years ago and soon thereafter was lucky enough to have not one, but 2 German retreats with you. This is true. Anne came to the first ever German retreat I did in Munich and then signed up again and came to the one that we did in Hamburg, or in the Altes Land outside Hamburg. So if she came, she studied German, she had some really good conversations, and she says, you gave me the confidence to continue learning and loving languages, and could really, that's what I loved about like meeting this learner. You could see the confidence grow all the way. And Anne has a message, I think, for all of us, saying, now in this time of incredibly important world events, it is deeply moving to not only understand live reporting from around Europe, but to enjoy my hobbies and passions with voices far away. Your work has made the world a smaller and better place for thousands of people. And that's possibly best off internet, isn't it? That's the best we can get out of having the internet.
Yeah, 100%. And Katie as well. Katie, hello, says, I just wanted to send you a quick message to say a huge thank you for being there with me for the last 2 years of my language journey. Like a lot of new language learners, I decided to learn a new language, in Katie's case, Swedish, during the first lockdown in 2020. I'd not been a learner since school and didn't really enjoy it then, so I had no idea on how to really start or whether I'd actually enjoy it. If I learnt a simple sentence and then just walked away from it, I still would have been proud of myself. However, with Swedish, it was different. I was more connected to the language because it was something I wanted to learn. And after a couple of months of feeling pretty alone study-wise, I found you, Lindsay, and your amazing podcast, and suddenly I didn't feel alone anymore. Yay. Although we never spoke, it felt like you were right along there with me, supporting my journey. I cannot thank you enough for your podcast and the amazing community you've created. I know whatever you have planned for the future and wherever it takes you will be amazing. I will continue to listen back on the episodes as there's always something new I can learn, no matter how many times I listen to them. Hugs, Katie.
I think you read out the bit that makes me emotional. It's so true. And you know, when you and I, like when we're doing an episode together, we're sort of talking to each other and you know there's going to be people listening, but at least you're having a conversation. But you and I have both done solo podcasts. So you've had the Teach Languages Online podcast, you've had Language Stories, and I do solo episodes regularly of the Fluent Show. And isn't it the most rewarding thing when you get a message from someone saying, well, we never spoke, but it felt like you were there with me, because we're just sat here like with a microphone.
Right. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. It's such a strange thing, kind of talking to yourself. Because even now when we're doing this episode together, like we're still sat alone in our own rooms, right? In separate parts of the country. And yeah, to know that like, A, you're hearing me right now, and then B, other people are going to hear us having this conversation later. It's wonders of modern technology.
I know, wonders of modern technology. And then the wonder of, you know, someone's voice. And I noticed from, you know, when I was little, I used to listen to the radio a lot. And there has always been that sort of, like radio DJs, for me, it was radio DJs before and then talk radio. And I was a fan of This American Life, which is a super long running podcast and probably the first I got into in like, I don't know, 2008, 2007. And there's just something truly special about the companionship of audio, because it can accompany you in your own life. I think it's magic. And I love that we were able to do that for you, Katie. So really excited about that. Now, while we're talking about wonders of modern technology and amazing people, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor for the last time. But don't forget, this app isn't going anywhere. And that sponsor, you all know it, hopefully, is Closemaster. Closemaster is an app that you can get on Android, on iOS, and in your browsers. In older browsers, I think. And it's free to use, so you just give it a good crack, have a good play with it. And Closemaster is all about the close exercise. Close exercise means you've got a sentence in another language, and then you will find a gap in that sentence, and you either get multiple choice or you can type in the answers. So it gives you different options to work with. And there's also a listening practice option, and the listening practice is you hear the sentence but you don't see it, and then it just gives you the options of what you think will go into the gap. So it'll, you know, it shows you the gap, then you see the sentence written down, and then you get the options of what has to go in the gap, and you only hear it once. So it's actually quite challenging, and I've enjoyed it a lot with Chinese. It's kind of my, if I'm, you know, doing the waiting in line, doing a language app, it's always Closemaster. And they would like to offer all of you listeners a big invitation to join their pro membership, which is, it doesn't, you know, like you don't need it in order to use the app. So please go and have a play around with it. But if you want to support the app and you want to unlock special features, there's a 10% discount code. If you use Fluent Show at closemaster.com, then you will be able to use their membership, get 10% off, and you're supporting an independent language app. And we've talked before about how important it is to do that in this space. Lindsay, do you remember when we first talked about Closemaster?
I do. Many years ago. It must have been around 2016,
yeah.
2017.
Yeah, 16, 17.
Because I remember when we discovered, as we were recording, that they had Guarani, and I was like, oh, words. That's so cool.
Yeah, their range of languages is huge. They've got like 50 languages. And because of the way it's set up, you can set almost any language pair to work together. So it's really good for our friends who want to do lots of languages and do laddering. So you could do Guarani from Spanish, or Guarani from French, or Guarani from Russian.
Yeah, it's very cool for the language combos.
It absolutely is. Okay, so head over to closemaster.com/fluentshow. And thank you so much to Closemaster and to Mike from Closemaster for having been a true partner and a really true sponsor and helping this show over the last, not just year, but like even longer. So we've worked with Closemaster for a long time. Can't say a bad word about them. So do give him a shout out. Okay. Lindsay, shall we talk about final episodes?
Yes. Okay.
Do you like final episodes? You know, when like a show or a podcast that you've enjoyed is closing off? What do you like final episodes? Do you like finishing?
I think more about TV than like a podcast. And I think there's definitely a distinction between a satisfying final episode of a TV show and like a really, wow, that was 6 seasons of my life wasted.
Very you know? True. Yeah, yeah, especially with a story, you're kind of really waiting for the conclusion. I don't know to what extent we can give you a massive conclusion of the Fluent Show listeners, but I did sort of think about final episodes. Do you have any shows where you really loved the final?
Honestly, it sounds really basic, but Friends for me is quite an important one because I think it was actually quite well done. And I love like the you know, the very, very end of it where they're in the flat. Oh, do you want to get some coffee? And Chandler's like, where? That's just such a nice, ends on a laugh. Really, really good. But also because I first saw that episode in French when I was on a French exchange, and I watched it on like live TV with the French family. And then in the ad breaks, they would ask me, oh, do you understand what's happening? And I'd try and explain back to them what I thought had gone on. So yeah, that's quite a good one.
Yeah, oh, what a good memory as well. And I like this sort of the circularity of sort of, you know, acknowledging in a way that like life goes on and we kind of end up where we started in a way.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking about this, although I didn't have to think about this very hard because I have a final episode that is one of my favorite episodes of television, certainly, and it's the final of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Of course it is. I love
okay,
Buffy.
Okay.
But it finishes, they finish in the high school. The show starts in the high school. They finish in the high school, and you know, they've all gone to university since then, so lots of things have happened, but it closes where it started on the Hellmouth. But there's a speech in it where and yes, there's spoilers in this. Spoilers for things that are 20 years old. Listeners, you just have to get over it. But like, there's a speech in it. And the theme is that the potential and the power of what made the main character of the show special, being the Slayer, sort of gets transferred and given to every one of us. And you kind of, you get this really wonderful. Cool. Yeah, yeah, she sort of, like they do a bit of magic, and it's truly wonderful, and it makes you cry when you watch it if you're in that kind of mood, but it's sort of it has this empowering message. And if there was anything I would want to, you know, like give to listeners as part of the show, what I think this show has always wanted to tell you is like, is that it's like, this isn't about like a main character or about. You know, I've always said I don't really like doing these interviews of like, how did you become such a genius? Like, I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It is about every one of us, and it is about just kind of passing on our power. So there you go. I'm doing a Buffy right now. Not quite as good a speech. But to say like, you know, this message of the show, this what the show has given you, this feeling of being with Buffy, it's like empowered, or with us, it might be like kind of empowered, like feeling capable and feeling like you having fun with languages and you're allowed to do this and it belongs to you. And it's not just about being perfect or, you know, getting your grammar right or whatever. That feeling, you can have that. you can have that. You don't need us for that anymore. It's in you now. And you become our little beacon of carrying that on. That's quite nice.
I like that you brought that back to
from
Buffy.
Yeah. And then I thought,
I am Buffy.
Oh, this is what 9 years of Fluentia was all about. It's me wanting to be Buffy and the rest of my life. Okay, do you have any episodes where you're like, oh, that was a really bad final that you didn't enjoy at all?
Ooh, bad ones. I've never seen it, but I just remember like the backlash to the How I Met Your Mother. When I popped out of her. How I Met Your Mother. I just remember like at the time, I never really saw the show, but just this backlash of like, oh my God, that was so disappointing.
It is like when it doesn't conclude well, it is really disappointing. For me, it's Lost. Like Lost is probably one of the first shows where you had sort of people on forums being like, what does this bit mean? What does this bit mean? And here's a hint and there's a hint. Nothing added up in the end, and it all was just like, oh yeah, it was actually this thing all along, and it just felt like great. That was really a show where I felt like I've just wasted my life.
I'm excited to see how they're going to end Riverdale, kind of on that vein of like, this happened and this happened and this happened and none of it matters in the end. I can imagine Riverdale is going to go down that same line.
They dreamed it all.
Would not be surprised.
Yeah, that's such a cop-out when shows do that, where it's like, oh, it was all just a dream. Now, I did sort of, obviously, you know, in the mood of finishing things, I've already given you all the Buffy speech, so you really, I feel encouraged. I feel like it's worthwhile. But I sort of thought more about finishing, you know, like, and finishing things and sort of a chapter in your life, which for some reason, I think it's a post-COVID thing. I really feel at the moment where it's like, okay, we're doing, you know, I mean, I'm finishing a podcast I did for 9 years, and you might have things in your life that are kind of changing as well, and you know, this sort of big shifts sometimes happen, right? And I thought about the benefits of finishing, say, something, right? Not finishing, or finishing a chapter, like sort of saying, okay, I'm done with this, and I want to like actually finish. Like I remember I once quit a job, like proper wrote a resignation letter, and I didn't even have the next job to go on to. And it gives you a sort of scary, weird feeling kind of a thing. So Lindsay, I'm going to present you with three benefits. Let me know if these resonate with you. The first one is it gives you an opportunity to make space for moving forward, and it creates sort of more new space in your life.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
Have you ever experienced that where you've kind of said, okay, I'm done, and then something completely, like, more space happened?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, do you find that scary?
I think it can be scary because, like, there's this kind of perception that busy is good. Mm. And so any idea of making space when you have not necessarily got anything at that time to fill that space can sometimes be like, whoa, right? Because we have this kind of social idea of like, every space must be filled. Busy is the goal, which just is not true or healthy. But yeah, I think that means that sometimes it can be quite scary. Yeah.
I find it financially, economically, like even when I have like money saved and I'm like, okay, cool. And like nothing bad is going to happen. But I think maybe, I don't know, some people just the way you're brought up or something like that. I'm like, if I'm like, oh, and then there will be this amount of time and I won't have money coming in, I start to get really nervous, even when I've budgeted. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's just, oh, ah. So yeah, it is scary, but it does. There's never been a time where I haven't then emerged with better, newer ideas that I wouldn't have been able to have. Okay, second benefit. It gives you the opportunity to draw some conclusions and sort of sum up your learning and review.
Yeah.
Right? So you've kind of stopped trying to move forward, and it gives you the chance to look back. And then the last is a sort of variant of that, which is it gives you an opportunity to reflect on yourself and your own goals and the sort of, well, what did I come into this in the first place for?
Mm, yeah, I agree.
And I have this Valeria, who who Valeria got in touch with me on Twitter, and she sent me a tweet. Okay, this is very 2022. She sent me a tweet that is actually a screenshot of a Tumblr post. but I wanted to read this out because I kind of thought this was really interesting, because it relates to this idea of finishing. And I really kind of, I know in the final episode, she does nothing but talk about finishing. It's kind of something we don't talk about much. So are you ready? I'll read you this Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Bright Wanderer on Tumblr. I think a lot about how we as a culture have turned forever into the only acceptable definition of success. Like, if you open a coffee shop and run it for a while and it makes you happy, and then stuff gets too expensive and stressful and you want to do something else, so you close it, it's a failed business. If you write a book or two, then decide that you don't actually want to keep doing that, you're a failed writer. If you marry someone and that marriage is good for a while and then stops working, you get divorced, it's a failed marriage. The only acceptable win condition is that you keep doing that thing forever. A friendship that lasts for a few years and then its time is done and you move on is considered less valuable or not a real friendship. A hobby that you do for a while and then you're done with is a phase, or alternatively, a pity that you don't do that thing anymore. A fandom is dying because people have had a lot of fun with it, but they're now moving on to other things. I just think that something can be good and also end, and that thing was still good. And it's okay to be sad that it ended too, but the idea that anything that ends is automatically less than is... less than this hypothetical eternal state of success, but the idea that anything that ends is automatically less than this hypothetical eternal state of success, I don't think that's doing us any good at all.
Ooh, that is profound. Do you know what that reminds me of? You know the Taylor Swift song, Happiness?
I don't
Evermore.
Know that Taylor Swift song.
Okay, well, it's basically like, there was happiness because of you, but there'll be happiness after you too. So it's like kind of saying, you know, when something ends, it was good, but there's also good
yes.
to come.
Yes, yeah.
Which, yeah.
I have to say.
That's cool.
I have to say, this is something I really thought about a lot. And when you think about finishing something like the Fluent Show, I did sort of think about, well, is the success condition for this just that it runs on forever? Because I'm not like, you know, we're not podcasting something that is finite. We're podcasting literally something that kind of often we talk about as if it goes on forever. And we often say, like, you're never done with language learning. The implication being, okay, in that case, it's forever and it's like an addition to your life. So I've really thought about, well, if I finished a podcast, like, does that mean, like, you've given up or you've failed? And I really like this sort of, and I had this from listeners in the feedback, I really felt like so many of you listeners, what you sent in is saying, oh no, but it did all this, you know, and I'm looking forward to what comes next. And I really appreciated that, because this is something I'm taking as a personal lesson out of this, is that when you know something has had its time and the time is up, that's not a bad thing. It's like an opportunity and a kind of, yeah, it's deep, isn't it? So I really like that Tumblr post. Thank you so much to Valeria for sending it to me, and thank you to the person who wrote it. And yeah, so we as a society could do with finishing a bit more. Now, Lindsay, in languages, we often say you're never truly finished. And many people ask us, I'm sure you get the same questions, like, how do I add a language? Or how do I avoid forgetting languages? Like, how do I do multiple languages is one of the most common questions that I get. Like, and we don't want to, there's a real fear of losing our gains, right? This sort of attrition sense. Like, this attrition isn't ever considered like a good thing, but not even like, it's considered something you can game yourself out of, which I very much disagree with. But I wanted to kind of ask you, because I thought back to every language I've ever learned, even like Vietnamese, which I picked up for like 2 afternoons. They've all stayed with me. Is that the same? Like, even when I didn't continue, they still mean something to me.
Yeah, like I spent 6 weeks learning Bulgarian in sort of autumn 2019. Never really done much with it since, but I still feel like, Bulgarian. Like, I still feel kind of this very loose kinship with a language that I can't really use now, but actually was quite good at after just a few weeks, you know? And so, yeah, even when there's like a very kind of minimal exposure or a language that you don't learn for very long or you don't go very far with, that alone, yeah, something still stays with you, I think.
Yeah, there's sort of, there's like a little bit of magic and connection, and it's completely unrelated to whether you ever got any good at it. I like that. I like that sort of, yeah, I have that with like Vietnamese. I'm like, okay, I spent an afternoon trying to get my head around all the diacritics, and it just, you know, like I took the tiniest step towards unlocking it, but I still have that with inside of me. And that all of this is sort of when you don't continue a language, like for me, it's usually a conscious choice, but not always. Or sometimes I try to make the choice, but it's not all that clear cut. It's like a big gray zone. But do you feel a sense of sort of, oh, I could have become fluent in Bulgarian, like a sense of disappointment, loss, self-criticism, or are you at peace?
Less so in a sense of FOMO, more so in a sense of like curiosity, maybe, like kind of letting your mind wander, like, whoa, imagine if I took Japanese all the way. Whoa, wouldn't my life be different? Imagine if, you know, I got fluent in Bulgarian. Whoa, wouldn't that be, you know, what I wonder what would have happened. But like everything in life, you could ask yourself those questions. And so I think if we're looking backwards, it can be fun to sometimes imagine that. But sometimes, like, you can't change the path that you did take and the choices that you did make to get you to here, to the present. But what you can do is the future. You can adjust the future, you know, as by making the choices from now. So I think it, although it can be fun to kind of look back and, you know, if you look back and you think, oh, you know, imagine if I had carried on with French. Oh, whoa, would I be living there now? And then asking yourself, well, would I want that? Do I want that now in present tense me? And thinking, okay, I think I do. Okay, well, what can I do now going forward if I want to change that? Rather than, oh, I should have done it. I didn't. I'm a failure. Ugh, here I am. This is it. This is where I'm stuck. You know?
Yeah, I love that. Turning it into motivation. I've never thought about it that way. Because it's, I think there is a real tendency in many people to beat yourself up for, you know, what you could be and what you should be. But you're very right. Like, then you might as well be like, well, I should have a PhD by now and also be a lawyer and also be rich and also, I don't know, be a model. You know, like, there's many things that we aren't. And it's much more about, like, this comes back, even with languages, this comes back down to, you've got to start with liking where you are and liking who you are now.
Wow. Exactly.
This is good stuff, man. Yeah. Okay, right. We're ending Philosophy Corner with a bit more feedback. and I've got some shout outs to make, and I've got some messages to read. So Lindsay, why don't you take Cara's message with the little hearts and excitement. Bless her.
Yep. So Cara says, Cara, hello.
Hey.
Thank you. What a phenomenal 9 years it's been. I remember sitting at a cafe listening to your first episode and then binge listening later as I went in and out of traveling. The value and positivity you bring to our community has been amazing.
Oh,
thank you, Cara.
9 years, mate. 9 years of listening to the whole thing. That's a bit, I know. Ooh. I remember making my first episode. I didn't even know I was making a podcast.
Hey, Kirsten. My name is Ricky, and I wanted to say a quick thank you for all the work that you put into the Fluent Show. It's been a really foundational part of my language learning philosophy, I guess I would say. And in the case of German, which became my target language like 3 years ago, it provided a bunch of like really helpful resources with German Uncovered. And also just learning about your coaching sessions was really great. And I think the best part of the Fluent Show for me was that it always brought me back to the fact that like language learning is something that's fun. There's, at least in my case, like not huge stakes to it. And it's like, you know, it's possible to enjoy it and not just like constantly feel stressed out by it. In terms of like one thing that I really have to call out, I loved the bilingual episodes. und besonders die Folgen, die auf Deutsch und Englisch waren. Also ja, es gab eine Folge mit dem Team von Easy German. Es gab auch eine Folge mit Shahida Foster, das ich sehr, sehr, sehr cool fand. Und es gab auch diese Interpretationsfolge mit Karin Reithofer, glaube ich. Und ja, es war total überraschend. Und ich war auch sehr stolz auf mich, wenn ich die Folgen verstanden konnte, besonders in beide Sprachen. Also vielen Dank. In the spirit of I think an appropriate fluent show sign off, merci beaucoup, muchas gracias, quitos, thank you, und vielen, vielen Dank.
And Jessica says, I know how moving on is bittersweet. So true. Especially when you've put your heart and soul into a project like you have in this podcast. And then she says, the fluent show for me was always a ray of hope that making it in the language industry was possible, and you gave me inspiration. Having my own podcast was totally doable. And she wants herself to know it's launching in 2 weeks. So that's French Sunnyside, or it's a different name now, isn't it? But keep a lookout, and I'm going to pop it on my social media if I see it for Jessica's new podcast. Oh my gosh! But yeah. I love this because Lindsay, you and I have talked about working in the language industry in different ways. And I love the idea that it's given something useful. And it's given some information and guidance and motivation to other people who want to teach languages. It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, and I've got one more message that I wanted to shout out here because I've got a shout out to Mandy. Mandy, who I know from Lancaster, who old school, like came to when I taught at Waterstones Bookshop in Lancaster. I kind of walked into Waterstones. I was like, hey, why don't we do a thing? And I teach some lessons here. And she came along to those. And she's on one of my kind of my teaching photos where it's like a pretty picture of me teaching. One of the students there being like, what does this mean? That's Mandy. Shout out to Mandy. She says, I remember my French tuition. I remember my German tuition. Language learning isn't something that is easy for me, but I did have a bit of fun while sat in Waterstones Bookshop trying. I love this attitude. Like, that is the attitude, right? It's like, it doesn't matter if you're good. As long as we're having a bit of fun, that is what we're here for. So thank you all so much. More messages later. Okay. Right. Now, we're going to go on to more navel-gazy themes. I've made a... This is really important for you all to know. In the show notes for today's episode, fluent.show/240, I will link you to a list on Podchaser. Podchaser is just a sort of, they call it the IMDb of podcasts. So imagine that. It's like a website with lots of podcast information. I've made a best episodes list. So you can even, I believe you can even export those to like Spotify and to Apple Podcasts, etc. So if you want to listen to my favorites and listener favorites and Lindsay favorites of the Fluent Show, you can do that by clicking on Podchaser and just sort of hit and play. But I've got a few episodes for you. A few of them Lindsay episodes, a few of them sort of my favorites, listener favorites. So Lindsay, I want to give you first go. Do you have a favorite episode or one that you really enjoyed from your memory?
Yes, and I know that it's one of yours as well. And it's the episode we did about the languages of Britain.
Oh, with Simon.
Loved it. Loved it. Yeah, I learned so much. It was so much fun as well.
Yeah, Simon was great. Simon was a great interviewee. I bit off so much more than I could chew, and I had to have a very quick learning curve because we had a three-way conversation with him. Then also added in audio clips of the different languages, I think. Yeah,
we did.
And then one of my absolute favorites is when we did top five fictional languages. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Partly because I had figured out a little bit of like how to produce an episode with various different sound clips, so I had a little bit less of a domestic with my husband about. Boyfriend at the time of like, how does this get edited? Where do you want this audio clip? But also I remember like us listening to Klingon and us listening to Sindarin and us listening to all the different like languages and your reactions. And I remember you saying, you know, I remember
I know what you're gonna say.
You said Klingon sounded like German.
Yeah, it does. Stand by it.
But I remember you also, there was the, I can't remember the name of the language, but there's the one in Lord of the Rings that's like the evil language. And I played you an audio clip and you went, ooh, that's really eerie. That's really sinister. And that sort of instant reaction to a language and its sounds and if fictional language, I thought that was just really interesting and such a like powerful moment. And also that we managed to get the technology to do that.
Yeah.
And I think my next favorite is another, like I come at this obviously from the point of view of having made these. It's another production sort of adventure, which was the one called Welsh is Not English. I love that episode. I'm so proud of that episode. And it starts off with a little bit of room tone, right? So it starts off with the noise that I recorded while people went on the coffee break in my Welsh course that I took. And you taught me how to do that, Lindsay. You don't know that, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because when we went to the polyglot gathering, it was the first time we had the mobile recording device. And I remember you saying, we're going to take a bit of room tone for the atmosphere and just kind of holding the microphone to the room so we can get the mumbling. And I was like, oh, that is so cool. And I used that when I made Welsh is Not English.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, so thank you for teaching me that.
You're welcome.
Learned many things from Lindsay, including this one. And yeah, I love the episode because it was my only attempt at sort of audio storytelling and doing a bit of audio documentary style things, like Lindsay later did with language stories. So if you liked language stories, you will enjoy Welsh is Not English, and the other way around. This sort of audio storytelling, I really enjoyed that, and it's something I'm really pleased that I got to learn. Two of my favorite guests, definitely. And I know I got two white guys that I'm picking out, but I have a reason. The thing that I really like about this is that I had Mark Ockrand, the creator of the Klingon language, and some others, and then David Peterson, the language creator who's done lots of languages, including Dothraki and the languages for Game of Thrones. And the two of them, I always remember these two interviews because in approach to what they do, the two of them were so different. And they even, at least during the interview, in personality, they seemed so different. And I felt, it was just so fascinating to me and so interesting how these two language creators came at their craft from completely different points of view, and just approach it and kind of had different reasons for how they did it. And the joy that I got to do both of them, and that you can kind of listen to them and see the two different, you know, like one was much more for the internal satisfaction, the storytelling and the art of doing it. And then the other one was a little bit more about like, yeah, the joy of kind of language, but also, oh, wow, the community that sprung up around it and how it all grew. That was, you know, it was two different variants of the same story. So I really enjoyed the contrast of those two interviews. And I'm going to tell you my David Peterson recording story. Lindsay, have I told you this about recording in London?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. So I went to interview David in London. It's one of the very few episodes you and I have done this. And I think it's only he is the other person maybe that I have actually interviewed in person in the same room.
Wait, when did we record in the same room?
We've done it a few times at language events, and then we've done it when we were in Slovenia.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Only times, yeah. And for David, yeah. I was so excited. I was like, oh, I've only got one microphone. I need more microphones. Oh. So I bought these microphones to go with my mobile recorder, right? So I bought XLR mics. And I was like, oh, great. And we tried them all out. And I'm like, I am a pro, right? Carried all the microphones all the way to London where he was for the Duolingo event, some Duolingo event. And then I met him and I was like, oh, this is going to be so great. Yeah, I've got this like wonderful guest. And we got there. And I was like, in my head, I don't know. This is classic. I don't know. Sometimes you just don't think things all the way through. sometimes. Maybe this is a thing that I do a lot. I don't know. Different question. But we got there and then we realized, well, we haven't got anywhere to record. We don't have a space that is right for this, because I had expected, okay, it's a hotel. Hotel lobbies are a good place to record, right? As long as you might have a bit of background mumbling and things, but that's just atmospheric and they tend to have a lot of soft fabric. So I was like, this is great. But then the hotel didn't really have much of a lobby. And I was like, oh, what do I do? So we had to look for somewhere to record and we ended up in the hotel's like printer room. So during the interview, I just want to commend David for his absolute patience and professionalism, because he totally put up with this and it was like, oh yeah, cool. Yeah, no, we're doing this. Like every time somebody had sent something to print, the printer started getting off and we had to interrupt the whole thing. And I was very embarrassed and it was a lot of editing and fixing like those noises afterwards. But yeah, that's my David Peterson story. It was actually recorded like in the cellar printer room of a London hotel. It's the glamorous world of podcasting, cool. People. Yes. And another episode that I just wanted, that you were on, that came up a lot. I think 3 or 4 people told me in the end that they enjoyed this episode, was the hidden cost of cheap and easy language learning.
We did that quite recently, right?
Last October, I think, like October, November, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people were saying that it just got them thinking. I've got a feedback here from Leo Todaro, and he said many things, so I'm going to cut to the chase. And he says, I don't have a great story of the weirdest place I listened, but I have one for my favorite episode. Kirsten posted about the article, he means the Boston Review article at the heart of hidden cost of cheap and easy language learning, posted about the article in advance in her Facebook group about the ethics of language learning. When I read the article initially, I thought, no big deal. When I listened to the episode initially, my expectations for it was pretty low for anything insightful. You're just, geez, don't mince your words, Leo. Boy, was I ever wrong. Kirsten and Lindsay out loud thinking really helped me once again how I was consuming and teaching about language learning. At the end of the episode, they thought maybe in 5 years there will be an ethical language learning company. A chill came down my spine. An ethical language learning company. I'm up for it, ladies. Thanks for the challenge.
Ooh, that's so cool.
Isn't it? And I like that we defied expectations. But it's a sense that I kind of got, because it's easy to become a bit like blasé with things about ethics online and, you know, like language learning companies, etc., and to sort of go like, yeah, I know they're using my data, but, you know, I like it.
Like anything that is unseen is easier to kind of put your ethics under the rug, right? Like you wouldn't necessarily drop litter in the street, but you might wish cycle at home because no one's looking in your bins.
Wish cycle.
When you put the stuff in. Yeah,
okay,
wish
that's
cycling.
Gonna go on for word of the year.
Have you never heard of that word?
No, word of the year alert. What? Oh. Wish
cycling is when, like, you know, like, say, okay, a good example is a Tetra Pak. So like a milk carton, like a long life milk carton or a soy milk carton, not a plastic one. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. So a Tetra Pak often aren't recyclable. In the UK, it's complicated, right? Different councils, different rules,
yes,
blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But often aren't. But it's the kind of thing that people will put in the recycling bin thinking, I'd rather put it in there, hoping that it can be recycled, but it probably can't. And then what happens is it makes it more complicated, because then the recycling plant, they have to take them all out. Mm-hmm. So it's more labor costs to remove from the recycling bin than it is to put it in the actual like trash black bag.
Yes.
So that's wish cycling. So it's a bit like that, right? Like you would do that at home because no one's seeing you put it in the recycling bin when it's not recyclable. But in the street, you wouldn't drop litter. So it's this so we've got on a tangent, but but that's what I think it is about, like sort of ethics with language learning. It's like, oh yeah, it's just me at home on my internet. I can pay $2 for the lesson. No one's gonna know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a good person. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and also, yeah, I just had a conversation with, like, yeah, we are on a tangent. Hello, welcome to the tangent. For somebody about sort of the, how many lessons do you take with a new tutor before you decide that they're not right for you? And I was like, well, you keep going for a good while, right? But the tendency is to just go, okay, next, that didn't work, next. It's almost like, you know, because we've got like tutor Tinder almost.
Tutor Tinder, ooh.
I know, I'm like, tutor Tinder. But that's not a good thing. Anyway, okay, let's read a little bit more feedback and then I've got a quiz for you.
Ciao, Kirsten. Come stai? J'espère que tu vas bien. I've really enjoyed the Fluent Show over the years and I'm so glad that I discovered the podcast and your work. There didn't used to be many language podcasts and I know you've encouraged a few more podcasters that we now have today. I'm excited for what's coming next for you, but you also don't have to have anything else coming up right away. Enjoy doing whatever you get up to. Merci for everything. I started slowly learning German last year, so I'm looking forward to going back to your bilingual German episodes, specifically the one with Judith Meyer. Viel Glück bei Ihren zukünftigen Unternehmungen. Adios, bye-bye.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, why don't you...
No, I love me a quiz.
Why don't you take the email from Daniel in Nova Scotia? It's very, very small in the little things you have to click on it.
I was going to say, yeah, it's very small for me because I've got it on a smaller screen as well, but I will do my best. I'll lean in.
Tap on
okay,
it.
So Daniel, I can see it. It's okay. I got it. I'm squinting. It's all right. It's a podcast. You can't see me. Okay. As a long-time listener back to the Creative Language Learning podcast days, the show has always felt like a friend to me. Since I have no in-person friends who are learning languages, this podcast has meant so much to me, both in that regard and beyond. My favourite episodes are definitely the bilingual ones, because what learner doesn't want to hear other languages, especially ones I'm studying like German and French, and Welsh just sounds so freaking awesome. Although it's not an episode per se, Women in Language was a chance to virtually meet my heroes, and they were everything I could have dreamed of. Thank you, Kirsten, Lindsay, all the wonderful guests and everyone behind the scenes of the show that have made these years so incredibly wonderful.
Oh,
thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
That's delightful.
I know. An old school creative language learning podcast listener. And I'm going to stick with long-time listener, not first-time writer, but long-time listener, Elfin, who says, I began listening to the show back in 2014. And okay, here's what I never knew about Elfin. I was recovering from an operation. My life was in tatters. That's how it felt. I had plenty of time on my hands and went back to language learning, Japanese and Spanish. I had no idea of how to go about things online and somehow found the show. It opened up a whole world for me. Even just your approach and relaxed atmosphere where differences were welcomed and seen as an asset. The show went on to inspire me to do other things, show up for myself, start my own business. I got to know Lindsay, who is such an amazing woman as well, and that she is. I've listened to the show in countless places, by the sea, on the train crossing Italy, at hospital with my mum sick, when I got my dog, I'm not crying. I've moved house with it. When things were rough, it was wonderfully reassuring to hide in this beautiful world where everyone thought language learning was important and was curious and respectful of other ideas and cultures. Thanks to the show, I've got to know so many people. I hope I didn't embarrass you, but I think we would all be living in a better world if we stopped now and then and gave credit to the things that matter and impacted us.
Mm.
I know. That made me feel really emotional to think, you know, like, We got to hang out. Places I've never been. That's one of the most magic things for me. But also, it gives me that Buffy feeling of like, yeah, man, you're encouraged. You know? You start doing things for yourself and like, you know, gave people the power back. I love it. Ah. Okay. I'm not crying. You're not crying. What we're doing is answering quiz questions. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Play the Top Tools Woo. Jingle. Let's abuse it for quiz.
Top Tools, autumn and winter.
Da, 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 da. Lindsay.
Hello.
Are you ready for a quiz that I wrote on the train back down from Manchester after running the Great Manchester Run? So I might have been a bit tired and the questions might be rubbish.
I am ready if the question is, well, if the questions, plural, are like less about Manchester and more about podcast or languages, probably more of my forte.
Indeed.
Subjects.
Okay, there's not many languages questions, they're mostly show questions. You'll notice, I think, in which month
okay.
was Lindsay a guest on the Creative Language Learning podcast for the first time?
Ooh, a guest, not a co-host first,
yeah.
Right? So It probably would have been around, I don't know.
It's
maybe.
Do you have a year? Like,
yeah, I do. I think 2015.
Earlier. Yeah.
2014.
Yeah, I okay. had you on in October 2014. Yeah, wow. and then the co-hosting started in 2015. So you've been a co-host of this show for 7 years.
It's quite a long time.
Isn't it? I know. Well, thank you so much for being my buddy for all this time.
Thank you.
Right. Now, question number two.
Thanks for having me.
How many episodes? Okay, I regretted this the second I asked it, because then I had to, like, I hand counted these. How many episodes have the word language or languages in the title? I'll give you 10 either way. So this is episode 240.
Okay. 200.
It's slightly less than that.
150.
It's 100. You're getting closer. 128.
100. Oh, okay. That's less yeah, than I thought. Less yeah. than I thought.
I mean, it's still good for search engine optimization, I suppose. 128 episodes. I assure you, though, listeners, they are all in one way or other about languages. Even the one about Brexit is kind of about languages. Okay. The next one is, what is the oldest bilingual fluent show episode in the archive? And for a bonus point, who was the guest?
Okay, so I think, oh no, you did a bilingual one, I think, before you interviewed me. Is that correct? Am I in the right zone? No?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Maybe not. Okay. So in that case, I think, so there wasn't like one sort of straggler old bilingual episode, in which case I think they were a newer thing. And it was possibly German.
Yeah.
And you spoke to, maybe you
oh,
did?
Oh, well done. Yes.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Fluent Show Award coming your way. Yes. Or Creative Language Learning Podcast Award coming your way.
I'd like to thank my mom. My dad.
It's the episode I did with Judith Meyer. And it came out 15th January 2018. 2018, that was my first bilingual, and it, you're not wrong with sort of the impression. I think that there wasn't a straggler with bilingual, but I did start off interviewing lots and lots of Germans in particular, and German kind of people really, which I think just happens because I was a German tutor at the time. I was tutoring German, so I was looking at what are other people doing, what interesting things are other people doing with teaching or with teaching German. So if you look back in the archive, I think it's quite a strong proportion of German teachers in the older episodes, because that was interesting. Okay, Lindsay, are you ready for question number four?
I am ready.
When was our 100th episode, and name all the guests?
Okay, so let's think logically. 240 episodes mm-hmm. now, 9 years. I think 100 would have been around 2017.
Yeah, later than that, because I didn't start off consistent at all.
18?
Yeah, 18. August 2018, you might remember, we did a live broadcast. We had all these guests coming in.
So probably Shannon.
Definitely Shannon, yes.
Did we speak with Benny?
He was on that too. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, he was there too. But yes, yeah, we had Benny.
And maybe Chris?
No, not Chris Braum. He wasn't. I don't think we've ever done together an episode with Chris. Shout out to Chris from Actual Fluency. It's the only episode ever to feature Richard Simcott.
Yeah,
he joined
okay.
us on Skype. And then we also had Gabe Weiner.
Yeah.
And from Talk the Talk.
Oh, we had Talk the Talk people.
Yes, but not like that. That was Daniel. A separate episode where we had Daniel and Hedvig. That was Ask the Linguist.
Okay.
Now, this
Ben?
One, but I've never spoken to Ben. Ben with the nicest voice. Kylie, previous
okay.
presenter.
Yeah.
Yes. And she was on, she used to be a presenter on Talk the Talk podcast, which is about linguistics and the science of language. And yeah, so we had Kylie Sturgis, and she was a guest on our 100th episode in 20th August 2018.
What a cool episode.
Yeah, that was really fun. I remember in the prep for it, I emailed everybody a schedule of like, okay, these are your 10 minutes on Skype. I then need to throw you off Skype because I want the next person to come on. And then you know, like it was very organized, and everybody stuck to their schedule. It was very good. Okay, the next question. Ooh. Okay, this is going all the way back. Now, our first Words of the Year episode was 2018, but I'm going to give you a little bit more of a chance to guess these.
Are you going to ask me what the Words of the Year were? my life. Okay,
so 2019. So, think we're just before the pandemic. We don't know what's around the corner. What was the Cambridge Dictionary Word of the Year?
2019.
What was the 2019 Cambridge Dictionary Word of the Year? Or general theme?
I'm trying to think of like world events. We're pre-COVID. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're still in the Trump era. I think, end of 2019. No, he was still in for start of COVID, wasn't he? Dumpster fire.
I wonder if that was the year before. Do you know what? Dumpster fire was the word of the year, but it wasn't in that episode.
Before?
Yeah, dumpster, like that. I think that's earlier. The Cambridge Dictionary, it's funny that you said wish cycling, because this was...
Oh, wish cycling.
No, it was, it was upcycling.
Really?
Yeah.
2019, that's such an old word. Way older than 2019.
Well, Cambridge, they're always a bit...
Do they not watch Sarah and Jay Blades on that show where they go to the tip?
The repair show? Yeah, but that's not a 2019... That's like a lockdown show, isn't it?
No, it's well old.
Is it?
Oh. Like, yeah, because like you can tell from the clothes. It's like noughties.
Oh.
At the start,
What's
I think.
The show called?
Oh, now you're asking. I know it's someone on it called Sarah in the early series and then someone called Jay Blades.
Well, Jay Blades has a show on BBC
who
now.
Who is more recent.
Yeah. Okay, tangent ended. What was the Collins word of the year? So what else? If there's upcycling, what else might be? What's happening in 2019? Any memories?
Greenwashing.
No, greenwashing was the year after. I think greenwashing was the year after in like Norway. But this is sort of in that ballpark. It's sort of in that area of like, do you remember in the schools, what they did on a Friday?
Mufti?
What?
What schools did on a Friday?
Yeah. Well, the schools didn't do it. The kids
Mufti.
Did. It. Yeah, on a Friday. With Greta.
School strike.
Yes, climate strike.
Ah, okay. She's still doing that?
I don't know. Well, she's not in school anymore, is she?
Is she not?
I don't know. Greta Thunberg, please write in and tell us what you're up to these days. I think she's not. I don't know. Okay, so there's the Merriam-Webster as well. And theirs was quite interesting. So this is going to be the last one because these are difficult to guess. But okay, so think we're living in a world of, I'm going to read you one more. Macquarie had cancel culture. So I'm just getting you in a mood here. So cancel culture, upcycling, climate strike. What might be the Merriam-Webster word of the year? It's a short one.
Okay, so Merriam-Webster, we're in America mm-hmm. now. We've had upcycle, climate. Climate crisis? No, that's a long one.
Yeah, really short.
Is it something environmental?
It's not something environmental. I think it's sort of maybe a little bit more cancel culture adjacent in that realm. And I think we were both like, why had it chosen that? That's old school as well. It was they.
Yeah. Yeah. What a weird year. God,
I know. I mean, well, we all got very focused the year after and it was just like, lockdown. Vaccine.
I was going to say, right.
This kind of shows like there were different things on our minds before lockdown and vaccine and all that kind of stuff. I wonder why it's going to be this year. Maybe we'll do a special. Maybe we'll do a Words of the Year special. I've sort of got that earmarked in my head. Okay. Question number 6. Are you ready? This is Christian's question. I'm not sure how serious he was about this. What are the lyrics to the Top Tools jingle?
Okay. So I think there must be two versions, right? One is like Top Tools, Autumn and Winter.
Yes.
Top Tools. And one is Top Tools, Spring and Summer. Top Tools.
You're not miles off. Yeah. There are two versions. One is Top Tools, Autumn and Winter, Top Tools, Spring and Summer. I've always just had them together. Because, you know, we had two seasons. They're all in the jingle. And then one goes Top Tools 2019. And then the other one just repeats Top Tools because I thought, oh, I can't be bothered making a new one every year. And that's why that was.
Fair enough.
Okay, question number 7. What is the name of the band that does the Fluent Show theme tune?
Oh, I do not know.
Well, shout out to the band who gave me the rights to use their beautiful song. It's called Move Along. It actually has words, so you can find this on like Spotify and other music streaming services. The song is called Move Along, and the band is called Forget the Whale, and they're a sort of rock band in New Jersey, and you can actually go and see them live and buy their album and all that stuff. So shout out to Forget the Whale. Now, okay, one more question. How many episodes, Lindsay, this is just relates to something from earlier, have you and I recorded parts of or entirely in the same place as each other?
Oh, okay. So you did kind of give me the answer because I asked accidentally, not knowing this was a question. So okay. So there was one in Ljubljana.
There was, yes. The Polyglot Conference.
No, I mean, you said we recorded one in Slovenia, right? Do you mean just on our own?
We did one on our own, but it also had interviews from a Polyglot conference. It kind of had everything.
In the same episode?
Yeah, yeah. It just all became one episode.
Okay, so that's one.
Yeah.
And then maybe one in Berlin or maybe two?
I think there were two in Berlin.
Maybe Bratislava, Montreal. I'm going to guess 5.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4. 2 Polyglot gatherings.
Okay.
Because I think I've been to 3 Polyglot gatherings. One I didn't record. 2 Polyglot gatherings, okay. A Langfest and a Polyglot conference. And then I have been to a Langfest where you weren't there. And there's another episode. If you like language learning events or Polyglot events, listeners, there's 2 Langfest episodes in the archive as well. And speaking of Langfest episodes, oh, what a bridge. I have got some more listener shout outs. Okay, first I want to give a big shout out to Scotty. So have a read of what Scotty's been up to, Lindsay. This is amazing.
Okay, let me scroll down. Okay. Back to the start.
I know.
Okay, so Scotty got in touch to say that he is listening all the way from the start, because apparently that is the only way. He hasn't even listened to the episode that he himself is on and is still listening to Kirsten Ammers and Lindsay Dow. Even though the older episodes are a little dated in places, he says he loves hearing us grow and change our mind on things. It's cozy. So thank you to Scotty for being a Fluent Show listener. You got some good episodes to look forward to.
You absolutely do. And I was saying to him, like, but aren't the old episodes like really out of date? And he said, yeah, but I like it. It's cozy. So shout out to, you're not the only listener, Scott, who listens all the way from the start. And you might hear this in like 5 years or whenever you've caught up. We are going to be here for you.
I found the Fluent Show by accident when I was absolutely desperate to figure out a fast and easy way to learn languages. And what I found was so much more and so much better. Kirsten, through the Fluent Show, was the first to challenge my definition and goal of fluency. She validated my struggles and methods, and she gave me new and outside-of-the-box ways to learn languages. Surprisingly, I've been able to apply these lessons to every other aspect of my life as well, from parenting to marriage to passion projects to self-improvement and growth. The Fluent Show quickly became a valuable piece to my life's puzzle, and my language journey wouldn't be near as fun or effective without everything Kirsten, her co-host, and guests have put out into the world. So thank you so much for the Fluent Show.
I've had a message as well from Claire, an email saying, I've enjoyed so many of your podcasts and I'll miss listening to you. I've always found the podcast inspiring and fun, even though I'm not a serious language learner. On days when my spirits have been low, I've been greatly cheered by listening to your podcast. My all-time favorite episode was the Welsh one, about the importance of learning this lovely language. Inspired by that, I learned a little Welsh. So, Claire, your podcasts have made me think about so many things that I've never thought of before. For example, the importance of minority languages, feminism and language learning. And Lindsay, I think minority and indigenous languages has been a constant for us that we kept coming back to in the years, hasn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, I know. I remember you did an interview with Wikitongues, and because you said you used to volunteer for Wikitongues as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going way back. Okay, I've read out Leo's feedback. We're coming to a close. Now, listeners, yeah, we've talked about FOMO, and oh, what could have been. So I'm gonna let you in on a little bit of what could have been, because there are a few episodes that I never got to make. But if you want to find out more about these topics, I still want to encourage you to find out more about these topics because they sound super cool. Okay, so Lindsay, I'll read you those, and then I guess tell me how much you know about these. We can 10-second cover each of them. So the first one of the lost episodes that were never got made is the topic of polari and backslang.
Mm.
And there's a cool word that's like cryptolects.
Cryptolects?
Cryptolects. Yeah, isn't that cool? It's when you use languages, because polari was a sort of language developed among the...
So when it's like used as a code, as like a secret language. Oh, interesting.
Yes,
interesting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So polari was used in the gay community, and it's not used so much anymore. But cryptolects is sort of all the different things, kind of sort of that collective word for languages that evolve out of hiding almost. And I think that is fascinating and interesting. Mm. And, you know, you can go all the way to like reclaiming or the reclamation of and pride that's kind of come back to, like, that hip hop in a way has brought to the black community in the USA.
Kirsten, I have a question.
Yeah.
About these lost episodes. Are these episodes that like you had on a list of like topics that you were going to come to one day, or is it like you were going to make them, there was some element of production happening, and then it just all sort of fell through? Like, where did you get to
Funny
with these?
You should ask. two of these, the polari one and the next one, which is multicultural London English, which is the sort of new emerging dialect here in the UK. And I think that's really interesting. Are you aware of multicultural London English?
I am not.
I think it's sort of all the way, like, I think of it as like BBC Three English, but that's not quite true. But, you know, sort of, you might have like use of the word, say, mandem in there. And when people refer to themselves as man, you know, and sort of different things that have kind of come in through maybe Commonwealth immigration and especially Caribbean immigration. So I think it has a little bit of Jamaican slang, and like, it's not really pinned downable as much. But okay, speaking of production, for that one, I did actually interview somebody for it. And what happens sometimes, I'm sure this has happened, maybe this has happened to you making podcasts. You know what? Sometimes you do an interview and you just feel like that just didn't work.
Mm.
Right? So this was just one of those where it just... the conversation didn't get going. I felt like my questions weren't right. I didn't manage to get to the heart of things. I wasn't able to like warm up and relax my guests. I take a lot of responsibility for this. I think as the podcast host, it's my responsibility to try and make my guests comfortable and, you know, like get to something interesting that gets to the heart of what I want to know and the story I want to tell with an interview. And it just, I don't know, I kind of just failed it. And then we never managed to arrange a second interview, and because you're really asking a lot from somebody then if to do it again
for a second.
It just never happened. And polari, I did write to a few academics, and like, I don't know, this has never happened with any other topic. They just didn't write back.
Oh, right.
Maybe my email never got delivered, I don't know. They just never wrote back, so I don't know whether... And it's weird as well, because it was somebody I'd heard on, I believe, Because Language. So like, no, I'm not offended at all. And like, no comment on them. It's just the email somehow never did what it was supposed to do. So I did reach out. So both of them had some production starts on that topic. But they just weren't to be, unfortunately.
Mm.
Whereas the next one is an episode idea that I just had in my head. Like, because we were chatting before recording and we said, oh, how cool would it be? I've never made a bilingual episode speaking Moselfränkisch. Partly because There is actually a linguist who's written a few books about Moselfränkisch, so I would be able to get hold of an expert maybe who can give us the perspective. But my own confidence speaking this dialect, it's a bit like heritage language speakers, I think, isn't great. And also, I've never thought about it in great detail, but it's definitely on the list now of long lost. Oh, here's what could have been.
Ah,
yeah. And then the last one. That made me think about, it actually made me think about you have a lost third season of Language Stories, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. To the point that, yeah, I suppose kind of like you say with your Polari and Multicultural London English, like we had interviews booked, we had travel booked and accommodation, we were ready to go. We were going to start recording the UK series. And even I think if you listen to the end of season two of Language Stories, I say, we'll be back for season three in the UK. And it will probably never happen now because, yeah, we were ready to go. It was going to be the Easter holidays of 2020. Then obviously we all know what happened in March.
Yeah.
So we couldn't even travel to the Isle of Man. It was not a possibility. And yeah, it's gone.
Oh, well, maybe you and I can pick it up one day and do like a fluent show.
Boom.
Language stories, fluent stories road trip or something. That'd be fun. And then we can also put in the episode that I never got to do, which also fell victim to COVID, to be honest, is I would have loved, and I had a contact locally, I would have loved to go and visit what's called a complementary language school, which is sort of a, like you can take your kids to Polish school at the weekend or something like that, or maybe they will have like after school lessons. Because I did an interview episodes with Katie and Petros, who are two researchers researching heritage languages here in the UK, and they told me a lot about complementary language schools. And I thought, oh, it'd be really cool to go to one, talk to the kids, talk to the teachers, you know, record the atmosphere and tell that story.
Yeah.
I think it would have been really cool. Yeah, super interesting, right? So complementary language schools are a thing, largely volunteer run in the UK, and never got to visit one. So listeners, there you have it, a few topics that are super interesting for you to research, even if there never got to be a podcast episode about them. And the same with hidden languages of the UK. So maybe in the future we'll get to pick up these threads once again. Okay. Now, Lindsay, I'm coming to closing questions, and there's really only one big question that I received. So I didn't receive any questions from listeners because we're finishing something. But Jane Gerloff got in touch and she said, where do you see yourself going in your own language learning journey? I've always enjoyed hearing what you are up to. So I'll let you go first. First of all, tell me, what are you up to work-wise in the coming, well, in the foreseeable?
Ooh, work-wise. So I am kind of keeping on with what I've been doing past sort of year or so with Language Life, which is like my favorite thing to do. It's so good to be working with learners on the how-to of learning languages and, like, you know, working on that progress as we do it together. And then, ooh. What else? Who knows? We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. I've just opened a new off Facebook community, which is really, really fun. So I think we can pop the invitation to that in the show notes.
Absolutely.
And then email list is, again, one of my favorite places to connect. So yeah, there's a link to that in the show notes as well. That's my work-wise stuff. What about you?
Work-wise, I am finally, now that I have, I've just done like a sort of update live edition of Podcasting 101. It's finishing this week. And I've also created a kind of Notion podcasting HQ, so the thing that I use to organize the Fluent Show. I've made it into a template version that you can use for your own podcast, because it's rock solid. I love it. I've been using it for a year. It keeps everything in one place. So that's available now for podcasters. I've been doing more work around that and it's given me new ideas. So the time came where I finally have to make like a website for it. And it can't just live in a corner of sort of fluent language and people come to the website and think, what? you know, and no podcaster will ever find it on a language learning website. So at the moment, I'm working on making a website for that so you can live somewhere, being, you know, doing the old multi-passionate thing. And in that process, I'm switching back end. So I'm doing some behind the scenes work. I'm switching to Squarespace 7.1. So if you're a website builder or you've got any kind of online business, you've ever made a wedding website, you might know about Squarespace. Or if you've ever listened to a podcast, they never sponsored this podcast. But I'm switching to the new system, and it means you have to rebuild your website. You can't just switch it over. So it's a big job, but it just does so many cool little things where I'm like, oh, this is really good. Oh, this is really good. So I'm actually having I'm taking a course on it, an online course, and I'm having a really good time. So I'm having a bit of a tidy month, back end month, and long term, I've got a few projects kind of that I am working on, but I kind of know myself well enough than to not announce it and then feel held by whatever I said. So they will come. And like Lindsay has got, I've put it in the show notes. There's the newsletter sign up. So please make sure you sign up for Lindsay's newsletter and you sign up for mine, because we do constantly have new projects coming out and new things. And if you want to know what we're doing next, please allow us to tell you. And also, again, please stay subscribed to the Fluent Show RSS feed, which if you get new episodes automatically, you are. So don't change any of your settings for this podcast, even though there won't be new episodes. I do want to get the chance to tell you what I'm up to, especially with whatever comes next in the world of podcasting. I also wanted to make you aware of that. So stay subscribed to the RSS feed, because there might be more coming in the future. And you don't need to do anything for that. Rate and subscribe still applies, even on the last episode. Now in languages, I'm just coming in to the end of my Welsh class year. I finished my book. Lindsay, how good is that? I finished a whole textbook in Welsh.
Woo!
I know. I'm halfway through B2 level now, according to the book. So I can proper, it's coming to the point where I can proper speak Welsh. And if you're a long-term listener, you'll know when I started. Like, this takes ages. It took me 7 years. But I finished the book. So I'm going to continue with Welsh, and then sort of, I might continue sort of half-assing Chinese for a little bit. I found this year, because all the things that you couldn't do have started being things again, you know, like traveling and going out and meeting people and all that. Like, I didn't have any space anymore for that in my diary. And I'm kind of not really having as much language space except for like my classics. So I'm not committing to anything, but I think maybe I might continue dabbling around with Chinese for a little bit. So those are my language plans. What about you?
Well, I have my main thing that is sort of language related but not direct language learning is my MA in applied linguistics, which is, where am I now? We're recording this at the end of May, so mm-hmm. I've got a couple of months on my final assignment, and got 6 months of dissertation. So I am absolutely not committing to like, yeah, I'm going to start learning this new language tomorrow. Woo, it's going to be amazing. Woo. Definitely not, because that's not going to happen with all the time that I'm going to need to focus on that. But I have been and will be keeping up with Russian, which I'm really enjoying. And then I'm also enjoying like finding space for moments throughout my day with other languages that I've studied or not studied, like even if it's just like watching a film in I watched a film in Sinhala.
Oh, cool.
The other week, which like I know nothing about Sri Lanka, about Sinhala, so it's just fun just to have those moments for me when I know that I don't have the time to start a new language, you know. That helps to make me feel kind of connected. Yeah. I guess to the thing that I really love.
Do you know, at the end oh, this is going to be really cheesy. At the end of Buffy, in her speech, which I've watched obviously far too many times, she says, slayers, every one of us. And I feel like what you just said, it's like you're a language person, and it kind of doesn't matter if you're like actively learning a language, moving in a linear way, performing, because you're a language person. And if listeners take one thing from the podcast, I kind of want to say, like, language people, every one of us. Because I think that's that is, yeah, it's so true to just kind of pop it into a little moment, or, you know, the curiosity never goes anywhere. So I love that. It's really cool. And I'm so excited. Can I come to your graduation when it's done?
I hope so.
Yeah.
See how many tickets I'm allowed.
I'll just be outside on the live stream going like, "There's my friend." Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So maybe I'll podcast Lindsay's graduation. We will see. Now, I guess.
Get some noise.
Okay. I think the moment has come. I think we are closing. We've done the quiz. Oh. We've done the favorite episodes. We've had a long chat about finishing things and why it's good to finish things when they're good. And all the beautiful things that can come next. So there's only really one thing left to do, which is to sign off in the way that we always sign off on the Fluent Show. So for the last time, Lindsay, are you ready?
Whew, I'm ready.
Okay. Everybody, oh my God, for the last time on The Fluent Show, it is goodbye from me. Goodbye. And goodbye from Lindsay Williams.
Paka paka.
Thank you for listening to The Fluent Show. If you enjoyed this episode, please support the show by subscribing for new episodes and leaving a rating and review in your podcast app. You can visit us at fluentlanguage.co.uk anytime. Don't forget that you can send us your questions and feedback to hello@fluentlanguage.co.uk, or you can find the show on Twitter and say hello over there. It's @TheFluentShow, and on Instagram it's #TheFluentShow. We're always happy to hear from you, and we read every message and review.